Sometimes life gets in the way of the best laid plans, even when it comes to completing a podcast. I've had way too much to deal with for this past month or so to sit down and actually write part three of The Devil is in the Details, though my preparatory reading and research has been completed. I know listeners are not aware of how much time goes into the creative process of making just one Red State Blue Mom podcast. Not including the hours of preparatory reading and researching, the writing and editing alone can take me anywhere from 20 to 80 hours per episode. That is why I'm calling this podcast a pause. It's a short pause, so please listen to next month's episode of Red State Blue Mom. I'm hoping you will find it very interesting and thought-provoking too. I always say excuses are like belly buttons. Everyone has one. In this podcast, I'll give a couple of my excuses for not completing the promised Part 3 podcast on time. On the drive home from visiting my son in Texas, where I got to know his little feline brood, pictures of which are on the Facebook page, and also experienced the awesome solar eclipse. Yes, you heard that right. I drove to Texas alone. I had time for much needed reflection and contemplation. For me, there's nothing like wide open spaces, quiet time, and the road ahead to help me refocus and reset. I really should have been a long-haul truck driver, but not being able to reach any of the pedals on a semi-trailer truck due to being vertically challenged was problematic. While driving on this trip, I listened to the radio and podcasts from time to time, but mostly I was just thinking and thinking, working on clearing my mind and getting refocused. I will say that on this trip, I listened to last month's podcast, and I realized I repeated a few of the same things one too many times, so much so that parts of the podcast even made me say out loud, "Gee whiz!" I apologize if you felt the same way. Recently, we lost a family member, and that loss has taken the wind out of my sails, or should I say in my case, a lot of rubber off of my truck tires. My 59-year-old sister-in-law, Rhonda, was found dead in her rented casita in rural Arizona. Of all the family members, including her own mother, I was the one she communicated with the most. I requested she check in with me weekly, whether through a phone call or a text. For decades, while dealing with diagnosed physical and mental illnesses and living on disability checks, she lived a very precarious life with a physically abusive husband who considered himself a cowboy and a miner in his younger years. We also heard from the locals he was a former drug dealer. Both Rhonda and her husband were well known to the authorities. She always talked about it, but could never bring herself to leave her husband. The police taped off the casita to do an investigation concerning the circumstances of her death. Her husband is the one who found her, and at some point in time, the casita had been ransacked. Her wallet and the phone we provided for her to check in with me weekly had been stolen. As of my recording this podcast, we still do not have the medical examiner's report or any word on the police investigation. We do have her cremains in our possession, and this coming fall, they will be taken to Wisconsin, where she will be buried next to her beloved only child, Levi, the son she lost in a car accident a decade and a half ago. Rhonda loved country music, carbonated drinks, and Donald J. Trump. She always wanted to see Nashville. We told her we'd send her a plane ticket to Tennessee. We would take her to Nashville, and she could spend some time with us here in East Tennessee, too. She could get a reprieve from the difficult life she lived. But it never happened because she always had some excuse to not get on that plane. Well, she finally got to Tennessee, but not in the form or way we had hoped. Her death has made me incredibly sad and contemplative. I wonder what her life would have been like had she had a different, kinder, less chaotic, and more nurturing childhood. If she didn't have mental illness, if she had made better choices in her life. One very religious family member of ours has said she's burning in hell. Let's see. I thought only God made that call, not you. 10 minutes after returning from Texas and walking in the front door, I received a phone call from the daughter of my beekeeping colleague and good friend, Ken, who you've heard me mention in another podcast. His daughter told me Ken was again hospitalized and was not doing very well at all. She said he had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure and tested positive for COVID, too. Now, add this on to those two health problems. 3 years ago, Ken was told he has multiple myeloma. He's been undergoing chemotherapy and pain treatments for this deadly form of cancer ever since. Once someone gets this diagnosis, one is not likely to live past 5 years. I saw him before I left for Texas when we met for lunch after one of his doctor visits. At the time we said goodbye, I wondered if this would be the last time I ever saw him. I've visited him in the hospital and have wondered the same thing every time. As I said earlier, I'd tell you a few of my excuses for not yet having completed part 3. My other excuses, other things that have been weighing on me, I'm keeping closer to my belly button as I metaphorically pick up the rubber I've left on the road after my Texas trip. Life sometimes knocks us off our feet, taking a bit or a lot of effort to get back up, reset, and get going again. I know y'all understand. As I've said in many podcasts before, remember to treat others as you would like to be treated. Exhibit good intent, loving kindness, and show grace, because on any given day, you do not know what battles another person is fighting, and your good intent, loving kindness, and grace can make all the difference in that one person's life and end up reverberating in the lives of many others, too.